Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist.harrisburg.com. You can find many things about us on that website. Plus, you can find these radio programs and MP3 files. Find our TV programs there that you can download and examine. And a host of other Bible-related materials. And we encourage you to go out there and take a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we encourage you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come to know God and see your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Come and be with us. We would love to see you. We have been studying for the past few months the subject of 1 Peter. We have been looking at a detailed study of the writings of the Apostle Peter. We are currently looking at the text, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 20, in our submission to men. We ended up last week discussing the exception that we must always obey God rather than men. But we also must remember that God gives us an equal responsibility of being submissive to those who are in positions of authority over us in the civil government. In the biblical Greek, however, these words are the product and activity of God, not man. It is therefore probably truer to the biblical usage to understand the phrase here as meaning every divine institution among men, thus ascribing the existence of such human institution directly to the divine initiative or ordained by God. As we read in Romans 13, verse 1, authority was ordained by God. This authority was in order to protect the innocent and the ones who live correctly and to punish the evil and those who disobey law. And again, these institutions, even though they are secular and human, they were instituted by the God of heaven in order to make it better for His creation. The type of government is immaterial, monarchy, democratic, totalitarian. Rome was a dictator, a totalitarian, tyranny. That's what Rome was. But nowhere in the scripture did it ever teach God's people were ever taught to be in rebellion against those who were in positions of authority. Be sure that we do not make the mistake that the New Testament passages on our relationship to the sphere of God's spiritual government as prohibiting us to our duty as citizens in a material government. You can't pit one against the other. Yes, our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3, verse 20. Yes, we have a higher duty and responsibility to God, but do not allow that to diminish or to subtract our duty and our responsibility to a material government and citizens of a material government. Christians are dual citizens. We have dual citizenship. Yet this is a common mistake which leads people to be conscientious objectors. In Matthew 26, verse 52, Peter was told to put the sword away, for all who live by the sword will die by the sword. But that is not a prohibition against becoming a servant of the state or an aid to government that was divinely ordained and given by God, who, being ordained, exercised retribution or vengeance against the ungodly. But the explanation that God's spiritual kingdom is not propagated and appropriated in the same way that a material and earthly kingdom is. And Jesus knew nothing about an earthly kingdom because he told Pilate that in John 18, verse 36. No, Jesus affirmed the sword has a proper place, not in the spiritual kingdom, but in the kingdom of men, but it is in a place of retribution and divine vengeance on the ungodly and the wicked. Obedience is for the Lord's sake, according to chapter 2, verse 13. As servants of the Lord, obedience to civil government we honor Jesus in this world. In being obedient to civil government, we actually obey God. We actually show our obedience to the Lord. Possible explanations? By faith. Christians recognize such institutions as being divinely ordained by God, thus submitting voluntarily to them as to the Lord is proper, and we can read that exact statement in Hebrews 12 and verse 9. As man, the Lord himself was submissive, so we should follow his example. He was submissive to the Roman government when he lived upon earth. As we read last week in Matthew's account and in Luke's account, he told them to pay the tax, the Roman tax. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to the things that are God, the things that are God. He did not teach rebellion. He did not teach anarchy. He did not teach that we should not submit and we should fight against the civil powers, even though they were not doing what was right. They were not honorable. The Christian was not to take it upon himself to be in opposition to civil government. In order to commend others to Christ as the Lord and to avoid bringing reproach on his name by improper behavior, we obey, we submit in order to give the example and the evidence that we are trying and seeking to do God's will. Based on the context, the third choice is preferable, though all three are true. We need to understand that by faith, we submit because the authority is divinely ordained. Number two, we are submissive to follow the example of Jesus as we read in Matthew and Luke. And number three, it's preferable because it gives Christianity, it puts us in a good light. The Theological Dictionary in the New Testament says, also divinely willed is the submission to authority, which acknowledges their legitimacy on the basis of the divine commission to reward good and punish evil, thus echoing this teaching. Again, that's why God ordained them. It is to protect the innocent and reward the good and to punish the evil. That's why God ordained civil government. The general rule in the New Testament is exhortation is that there should be a mutual readiness to renounce one's own will for others. Even when we believe we owe secular subjection, this takes on a new aspect and has a new basis with the common subjection to Christ. Yes, we submit to Christ in all spiritual matters, but we do not violate that and we do not override that when we submit to civil government. The king was given by God himself. Read John 19:11. Since God decreed it, Christians must not resist it. Let me go back for just a moment and reread to you what the Apostle Paul, who wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said in verse 1 and 2 in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. In other words, when we resist the authority, then we in essence are resisting God. Ideally, men divinely commissioned should act as God would have them act. That's the hope, that's the desire that God had. Now that doesn't mean they always will. It doesn't mean that man's always going to do what God would want him to do. Doesn't mean that those in authority that God agrees with every decision and how they carry out that divine institution that he created for the betterment of man. It doesn't mean he agrees with everything they do. But the ordaining of civil authority is something that was designed by God. Even if the king is Nero or if the king is Bill Clinton. Now they do things Nero did and President Clinton did that were ungodly and were against teachings of the Bible, but that does not give us the right to rebel against civil authority. We can't violate God's will at any degree, but we are violating God's will if we would go against civil government just for the fact that because we don't agree with something they do, that we'll just throw out the baby with the bathwater and we'll just oppose and rebel against civil government because of decisions they make. No, we can oppose the decisions they make. We can try to get men and women elected that are more Christian in their understanding of physical things. But in no way does God ever tell us to be in rebellion to civil government. Governors, like Felix and Pilate. Jesus himself submitted himself to Pilate and Felix. He answered their questions. He respected their authority. We must follow suit. The dual purpose accomplished by obedient Christians as submitted citizens in verse 14 is the punishment of evildoers. That's why one thing reason that God instituted secular law and government was to punish the evil and to punish the evildoer. Praise for those who do good. That's what 1 Peter 2:14 says. Punishment. Vengeance is used here to avenge in. Twice it is used in statements that vengeance belongs to God in Romans 12:19 and Hebrews 10:30. Divine retribution, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, does not belong to the individual. It belongs to God. Read Romans 12:19 and chapter 13, verse 4. Praise denotes commendation. Praise. It is used in well-doers of human rulers in Romans 13:3 and 1 Peter 2:14. Also consider what we studied earlier in chapter 1 and verse 7. We need to understand that secular government and people in authority were placed there for our good. Now, that doesn't mean that everything they do is good, but the organization, the design, was designed by God in order for the protection and the well-being of the faithful, obedient citizen. God's reputation of Christian aid is the cause of God on earth. Remember in chapter 2, verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We put God in a good light. We put Christianity in a good light. We represent God. We put God in a good light when we are law-abiding, faithful citizens, when we support the government as long as it does not violate the law of God. When we do that, we give a good reputation, and that means the cause of Christ is furthered. It is exemplary, and it puts people in mind that Christians are good and honorable people. To silence, that means to muzzle. Ignorance, those who lack the knowledge of God, possibly those who are obstinate and unwilling to learn and accept the truth, can see it in a different light by the conduct of God's people. Foolish, conduct that exhibits the characteristic of acting without the use of rational nation. Sayer says, without reason, senseless, foolish, stupid, without reflection or intelligence of acting rashly. No, not only forbids Christians from acting the rebel, the instructionist, the insurrectionist, but also says that bad publicity is harmful. Who ought to be the best examples of law-abiding citizens? Who ought to be the best example of law-abiding to the government and supporting the government when they do things that are right? Who ought to be that example? We ought to be that example of God's people. As God's people, we are to be examples of good in every aspect of our life. That also includes civil government. We are to be, in accordance, the most law-abiding citizens on the face of the earth. We are to support civil government as long as what they do is not contrary to God's will. And by doing so, we put Christianity in a favorable light, and we demonstrate what it means to be a true Christian and a follower of God. Are you a good citizen? Do you exemplify Christ? Thank you for listening.